The dire circumstances of staff and patients at the Rahima Musa Hospital in Gauteng remains in the news. The hospital was in the firing line after pediatric expert Dr. Tim de Maya wrote an open letter about the horrible conditions experienced by staff as they tried to save babies and young children. The doctor was reprimanded for daring to write the letter about the conditions at the hospital and is still living under a cloud. The DA Shadow Minister of Health, Michelle Clark, visited the hospital earlier today. She joins us on the program to speak to us. Michelle, thank you very much for your time and welcome to Radio Islam International. Oh, looks like, you know, load shedding has just kicked in and that means we've lost our guest. Let's see if we can get them back on the program. Yeah. Okay, we've got Michelle back on the program. Michelle, thank you very much for your time and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Thank you very much for having me on your show and good afternoon to your listeners.
It's a pleasure having you. Now, were you allowed entry into the hospital for the oversight visit? And the reason why I ask this question is that because in the past, the DA and other political parties, when they tried to do something like this, they were prevented from doing a oversight visit. What was it this time?
No, they did allow us into the hospital. I actually took a copy of the act that in the act it says that members of parliament, as part of the oversight work, can arrive at any hospital or at any government facility at any time without making an appointment to do an oversight. So they did help. They did see us today, and they had a whole boardroom full of people that accompanied us today, as well as a big walkthrough through the hospital.
And what are some of the concerns that were, you know, raised? And also, we've heard the letter that was also written to the authorities, alarming them as of what is happening there. But what were some of the concerns you picked up from the ground there?
Okay, so firstly, the CEO was on leave, and the HR manager was on leave, which I found very convenient because we just put out a media alert that we were coming, and I am aware that ALSA also had a picket yesterday. So, you know, there's a lot of attention being focused on this hospital in terms of what's happened to Dr. de Maya. You know, then the rest of the management team did accompany us, and they advised us that they were never consulted when Dr. de Maya was suspended. So the CEO did that on her own peril without any consultation of any of the rest of the management team. So that in itself is a problem. Secondly, you know, we as, you know, government is always saying to the community out there to be whistleblowers if they know about things that are happening that need to be addressed or untoward. And, you know, we cannot suspend a doctor that's highly qualified for speaking out in terms of the issues at that hospital. And today, the issues that Dr. de Maya raised in his letter is in fact true. All the issues that were raised is in fact what's happening. So, you know, it's not that he, you know, he's just wanted to put the hospital in a negative view. And these things are actually happening, and they were confirmed today, you know, at the oversight.
So those are the concerns, but what about your personal observations? What did you pick up when you visited the facility there?
Okay, so my personal observation is, you know, Rahima Musa was built in 1943, so it's a very old facility. And, of course, you know, the population and the need for medical care in that area has grown astronomically. And they service around 300, they service about 3 million people. So, you know, the hospital in itself has only got space for 360 beds. They don't have space for any more beds in that hospital because the facility is old. You know, they sit with a massive crumbling infrastructure. So the water reticulation is terrible. So, you know, the water reticulation of the hospital, because the system is so old, just stops functioning. And then that is a huge problem, and Dr. DeMeyer also raised that issue, that, you know, staff are having to wash their hands with water bottles and that kind of stuff. And that is, you know, detrimental in terms of infection in areas like neonatal wards where there are small babies and that are very easily susceptible to infection. So, and also the sewer infrastructure underneath the hospital is crumbling completely. So they have sewage pushing up into the walls and within the offices continuously. So that's another problem. The CT scan life expand is no longer. And, you know, that every now and then they've got to spend R1 million to fix that scan. Mm. And it's really money down the drain, because the scan is so old that no matter what repairs they do on the scan, you know, a month later, it's a problem again. And the real issue there is that this hospital is expected to perform a tertiary service, but they don't get the budget for that. So, you know, if they'd got the budget that tertiary hospitals get, they would have a lot more money to actually function, employ more people, pay for better equipment that they need. But because they don't get that budget, because they are not classified as a tertiary hospital, but yet function as one, is a major problem as well. So you know, for instance, oxygen points for babies. You know, some of the points don't work, and then they have to sort of use one point for three babies. And in terms of health regulations, you know, the baby should be a certain distance from each other. And, of course, now these babies, in order to use the oxygen points, are put together, and this causes infection within the wards as well. They're short of supplies, and doctors often have to go to other hospitals to go and fetch dressings and that kind of stuff. They are 40% short in terms of their doctors and their nursing staff for their needs in that hospital as well. So, you know, the situation which they have to function within is really under a huge strain. Mm. And, you know, in terms of suppliers aren't paid on time through the provincial shared unit within the health sector. And, of course, then they are not able to get the suppliers in like they should. They don't have proper stock controllers as staff, so of course the stock within theatre and within the wards are not done properly, and therefore you find a lot of shortages because there's no stock controllers in order to exercise that task at hand.
Hmm. So, you know, the question is that this hasn't been happening for the past, say, few days or months. This is an ongoing problem, and it has been there for a long while. Why is it that nobody took the courage to, you know, speak out against it? Why is it that nobody came out in the open until this letter that came to the public? Is it that they are threatened? Is it that they're going to lose their position? What is it that they are worried about?
Well, you know, just the way Dr. DeMeyer was treated by the CEO, that sort of gives us an indication as to if people feel threatened by exposing issues or being a whistleblower. You know, that's my assumption that I think is happening, and you know, and that the rest of management was not consulted either. You know, so they weren't even aware of it. So I think there's definitely a problem with the top structure management there that needs to be dealt with.
Mm. So, Michelle, where does the solution lie? What can we do? What can we do next?
So I have made copious notes of the issues today. You know, I would be on the show for over an hour if I had to discuss each one of them with you.
Mm.
But I've made copious notes, and I will submit some parliamentary questions to the minister. But, you know, we had also asked our chairperson to arrange an oversight at Rahima Musa when this issue first came to light, and that hadn't happened, and that's why I took it on my own peril and the DA team to go to the hospital and see for ourselves what's going on. So I would really like the health committee in Parliament to call the senior management of Rahima Musa and the province of Gauteng to our committee so that we can have frank discussions as to what this hospital actually needs in order to better the services to the community that uses that hospital, you know. And also, you know, national government is hell-bent on pushing this NHI. But if your infrastructure is in such disarray, well, let's be honest, I think South Africa's healthcare is on life support at the moment. And if your infrastructure is in such disarray, no NHI is going to be successful if you have not got the infrastructure to support the outcomes of that bill. So, you know, every hospital I've been to of late, we've just seen horrific issues around the hospital. And I can tell you, if they had to do an occupational health assessment of Rahima Musa, they would never pass that assessment, never ever in the condition that hospital is in at the moment.
Michelle, thank you very much for the update. Much appreciated on Radio Islam International.
Thank you so much, and have a really good weekend.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, it's quite concerning that a lot of our people also, you know, have complained about this in the community. But I suppose it just falls on deaf ears, and nobody really does anything about it until the mainstream picks up on it.